It's time for the Cheap and Chad's Power Half Hour. Welcome one, welcome all to the best and only podcast that features our league of record. Chief, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. Got a night off from covering the Wolves here. The rejuvenated Minnesota Timberwolves since the Jimmy Butler trade.
Yeah, has there been has there been a big difference in team mentality?
Oh Lord, yes. They are seven and two since the trade. They look great. Since Covington and Saric have entered the lineup, they have the number one defense in the NBA. Things are really looking up for them right now, oddly.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, it's amazing what can happen when, you know, you just trade one player who's hostile, who's just not good for the locker room, and then things just turn around, right?
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, that's been the exact opposite effect for me, where I trade away Zeke and Johnson because they haven't been living up to potential, and then on their new teams, they find dominance. So,
yes,
it is what it is. This week's a bit of a pity party for both of us. I obviously have been eliminated from playoffs for a while, but obviously this week now you are also officially eliminated from playoffs as of last week's end of week finish. So I am sorry, but a very slow morning bell for both of us since we don't make playoffs this year.
Yeah, I mean, we saw this coming back in week three and four. You know, as I mentioned in the chat this week, you could kind of see the demarcation in the league back in week three and four, that there were five teams that were really solid, that, you know, looked playoff bound that early in the season. And, you know, I said that the one team of that group of the top six at that time that was looking the weakest was Tim. And I thought maybe that slot was the only playoff spot up for grabs. And it turned out to be right, because those five teams all made it in and Tim didn't. And it was just a matter of who was going to replace him. And, it would turn out to be Johnny, and even though I had a shot at it there, but I just didn't quite have the luck with the schedule, and when I caught certain teams, you know, I seemed to catch people like Cat, you know, at a time when their team was strong. So what are you gonna do?
It happens. But I tell you what, how about we do this? Let's use a little bit of hindsight. And, you know, we actually had a voicemail question submitted to us a couple weeks ago that
I heard about this. Very exciting.
Yeah. Well, I missed it because the Anchor app didn't let me know. You know, Anchor is a great app. And actually, you may have noticed for you fellow listeners out there, that we are now sponsored by Anchor. So that's pretty cool that we've now garnered enough listens that they said, oh, by the way, we'd like to now sponsor you. It'll probably end up resulting in absolutely no money whatsoever towards us, because you need a lot of listens to actually generate anything. But hey, it's pretty cool that we're now sponsored by Anchor. And that was probably the roll-in that you guys heard before the intro. So if you guys are wondering what that is, that'll now be playing either in the beginning or somewhere in the middle of our podcast going forward as we're sponsored. And we may get other sponsors moving forward, depending on how things go. We'll see. But that's a pretty cool thing. But anyway, so we got this voicemail question a couple weeks ago. It actually happened the right after I made the trade with Mancuso, because one of his early comments here is about Ito Smith. I totally missed the voicemail, so that's my bad. But his question is still valid, and now that we're both out of playoffs, I think it's a good question for us to listen to. So let's take a listen.
Sure.
Chaz, how are you not playing my guy Ito Smith last week? Come on, man. So, Chief, Chaz, just quick question. What is each of your individual biggest regret of this year beyond drafting two very expensive running backs who have given you 0 to 12 points?
Okay, so good question. Joe, sorry I didn't play Ito Smith. I just traded for him and I didn't play him. And I mean, I don't think it would have made a difference in my matchup back then anyway. But it's a good question, right? What is the biggest regret that we have, aside from, exiting, you know, the draft and how we did? I don't know. You have any thoughts? I have one in mind that comes to mind. Do you want to go first?
My biggest regret, it's just my running back situation. It was just awful. I mean, I don't really have any regrets beyond that. I don't regret my trades nearly as much as I regret drafting Fournette and Derrick Henry. It was – I might as well have just burned $70, you know, or however much I spent on those two. I would have been better off grabbing Todd Gurley or you know, anybody in for like $65 and just figuring out my running back two and having at least one sure thing instead of freaking Leonard Fournette, who, you know, cost me when he was in the lineup, and then I had to make do without him. It was just a bad situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But if you remember, the question that Joe asked was, outside of the draft,
fun fact, we do not hear the question when we're recording. And I did not understand it when Chaz texted me it, apparently. So,
a little peek
behind the curtain there. I don't really have any regrets about my team. I guess you could say that trading Hunt, but when I look back, it didn't really cost me any matchups besides maybe my matchup with Cat. And that was, you know, if I have that extra win, yeah, I'm still maybe in the playoff hunt this week, but I'd still be a game back and I'd still be on the outside looking in. So I don't really have any regrets about my in-season management. I guess maybe not going a dollar more on Philip Lindsay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that might have boosted me in certain weeks, but I regret my draft more than my in-season management. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I think I'm the same boat. I never regret anything, right? I made the choices I did. There were obviously things that, looking back, I probably should have just taken more into consideration. Like, you know, I drafted DJ Moore, and I pulled the plug on him way too early. And obviously now he's a good part of that offense. You know, if I truly have one regret, and again, it's hard to have as a regret because it's really only as a result of how the season went. But, you know, I came in draft strategy-wise with a couple different strategies I wanted to attempt. And I ended up having to settle on one, which was my three running back, you know, triple-headed Hydra monster that utterly failed. I had another strategy that, knowing how things have turned out, and I'm not going to say anything about it because I might still use it in the future, but knowing how the season has progressed, if I had done that, you know, if I had done that strategy knowing how targeted have turned out, then I probably, you know, I might be in the playoffs now. You never know, right? Because it's hard to tell how things change because it's all dominoes, right? But, you know, I would imagine that team would have been a higher scoring team, so I'd probably be in the playoffs. But hey, that, you know, now I have another strategy to try out maybe for next year or future years, depending on how I feel like going. So, I mean, that's probably the closest I have to a regret. You know, trading away Zeke and DJ was more about just I wanted to have some fun. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping, again, that, you know, I don't cost the league in terms of, like, tipping the scales in one favor or another. I don't think that was the case, as we discussed last week. But, yeah, it's hard to say I have regrets. I mean, obviously, I regret not making the playoffs every year, right? That's my number one goal is make the playoffs. And then, you know, you hope that you just catch some hot streak, hot fire, and you take that right into the championship and win. But, you know, at the very least, my second goal – every year is to make sure Gelch doesn't get a playoff. So that was a compliment. Yeah. It's, you know, it's glass half
that's
full.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Did you beat him in week seven?
No, I didn't. He spanked me in week seven. Okay. I just had a very down week.
Gotcha.
In week seven. So, but hey, well, we're starting off our matchup this week, and right now it's two very blah scores. He's got Cooper going with 5.5 points. I play Traquan Smith because he was good to go, and he hasn't scored yet, so we'll see. So,
he dropped what could have been a touchdown pass earlier. Yes,
did
he? Did.
Okay,
yeah.
Good to know. Well, at least he's getting mm-hmm. the looks. You know, we'll see. It's still probably going to be a low-scoring game. So, I mean, if we look at just my matchup with Yelch, obviously we're playing for basically nothing. It's more pride than anything else. So, obviously, I'd like to win this matchup, at least strike even with him, and then we'll see how things go in the menage a trois. And, you know, it'd be great to knock Gelch into the dude.com mashed potatoes bowl if I can.
Yep. So you still got maybe some battles with Gelch ahead of you. So there you go.
Yep.
I for one cannot be less interested. I'll be completely honest. I have like zero interest in the consolation bracket. Just spitting truth. I could care less. I really don't.
I more or less feel the same way. I will set my lineup every week.
I will set my lineup, but I really don't care.
You know, right now I'm focused. I'm in playoffs in I'm in five main leagues this year. Yeah. I'll probably pare it down to four next year. But in my other four leagues, in three of the four, I'm in playoffs, no doubt. And one of them this week will matter. So I'm obviously more focused on those leagues than anything else at this point.
Yeah, me as well. The other two leagues I'm in, I will be in the playoffs in both. So, yeah.
Yeah. So let's take a look. So we got Johnny and Goop going up right now. So not much going on with this matchup. I know that there's some seeding, but, you know, it's just one of those things where because basically – playoffs.
Really, it's almost pointless to go through the matchups because none of the matchups really matter all that much.
Yep, exactly.
You know, it's Joe Mancuso is in the driver's seat for the one seed. He's likely going to beat me this week. My team, you know, with Fournette out again because of his boneheaded suspension, my team has lost, you know, what was my best player the last few weeks. So, you know, even from a seeding perspective, it looks like Joe's got the inside track for the one seed. Goop, you know, this is the return of, you know, Gates's fantasy defense, because he somehow, you know, they somehow gutted out a very good record from, you know, points and points against that probably shouldn't have gotten them in the playoffs, but here they are.
Yeah. Well, you know what? How about this? Let's say in lieu of going over the matchups, mm-hmm. right? Because those are just kind of a snore. Yeah. Why don't we throw out some? What do you call them? What are the things in the yearbooks where, like, it's like most likely to succeed?
The superlatives, you know,
like superlatives. Yeah. Let's do some superlatives. I'll throw out one to start.
Okay.
Which single player has surprised you the most this year?
In terms of owners or in terms of NFL fantasy production?
Let's do NFL fantasy
okay.
production.
Surprised me. Was not prepared for that. I guess I would have to say, I would say Juju.
Okay.
I think right now, if I'm not mistaken, he has like better numbers than Antonio Brown does.
Yeah, by a significant margin, he does.
Yes, yeah. Like, that to me is crazy. I did not see Juju being as productive as he was this year. I was very down on him in all drafts. I did not own him in any leagues, and that was obviously a mistake because he was of great value at where he was. I thought Joe Bryan overpaid for him during the draft, and it was not. It was not an overpay. Mm-hmm. It was right on the money, and you know, I'd say he's probably surprised me the most.
Okay, that's fair enough. I think for me, it's going to be, there's a couple here that come to mind. So, you know, I'll start with quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes, right?
Right.
I don't think anybody saw this coming. I mean, obviously you have high hopes, but just for somebody who's basically it's his rookie season, more or less. I don't think anybody expected this kind of just ridiculous. So I saw a stat where, and the name of it is going on my head, but basically this person created a new NFL stat, and the idea behind the stat was any game that you throw more touchdowns than you had interceptions, you get one of these. I can't remember, it was some sort of gimmicky name. Mahomes had and Goff have the most this year.
Yeah,
of those. So I just don't think anybody saw that coming. I think along with that, Tyreek Hill, you know, again, I think that was it's because of Mahomes. I didn't expect Hill to have the sustainability he does because he gets so few touches, similar to what he had last year, where he gets so few touches. He's like one touch man. He's able to score on basically any play that he gets, and because of Mahomes' success, Hill's kept up. If I had to pick like one person who. Because, like, at least with Hill, you knew he had the talent. Mahomes, you know, it seemed like it was all going for him. If I had to pick one person who I would say is, I just did not expect it whatsoever. And, again, it's completely because of coaching staff and the changes. It's Trubisky. I thought Trubisky was a bona fide bust. And you saw that, you know, you saw some of that last year, and I just thought he was going to continue to tank. And he's just completely proven me wrong. If there's anybody I'm going to say that about, it's going to be Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, yeah, I see that. I don't know where he's at in terms of quarterback rankings right now, in terms of fantasy production. But I think from an NFL standpoint, too, he's just been – I wasn't very high on him coming into the year either. So
yeah, I mean, Trubisky right now is the quarterback 11. So he's a QB1. He's got 210 points. Mahomes, for example, has 294. Number two is Breeze at 252. So Mahomes is basically a whole game, almost two games to some degree, ahead of the next best person in Breeze. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch of people. I think the person who's actually most surprising this year, and I called this, if you remember me saying that there was going to be a positive regression, was Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is number three right now with 247 points, above Newton and even Goff. So I definitely call. I think I called that early in the preseason, mm-hmm. saying that I thought Mariota and Ryan were due for that regression. Mariota has done a little bit, but Ryan obviously more so.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. The Falcons' offense has been good, but like the team has sucked, and you know. And they're still mystifying in terms of when they get in the red zone that they can't find a way to get the ball to Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is just the strangest thing, I think, in all of football, that they can't use one of the best receivers of this generation and they can't get him the ball where it matters the most on the field. It's just odd.
Okay. I got another category, which is basically the opposite of this. If you want to go you know, we did most surprising. Mm-hmm. We do your least surprising. The person who's done the exact opposite mm-hmm. of what you expected.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm biased with like Leonard Fournette, but I'll try to take health out of the equation, and just say maybe somebody who's been relatively healthy who hasn't quite lived up to their promise. And I don't know. Give me some time to think. Do you have one on your mind here?
I do, so you go first.
Go ahead.
That guy is a guy who, for the past two seasons, was a 1,000-yard rusher with, I believe, double-digit touchdowns both years, and that's none other than himself than Jordan Howard. You know, Nagy has completely changed the scope of that team. Obviously, they're way more defensive-minded, but having Tariq Cohen be basically the primary back, it's crazy because Jordan Howard was an incredible talent. And for the past 2 years, he's proven, despite a very not great Chicago team, because of coaching, and he's still produced. And this year, you'd think that, I mean, that's why I was so high on Jordan this year. I really thought that I expected Howard to fall into the Hunt role way more than Tariq Cohen, just given Cohen's size and durability, but, it's been Cohen. And so I was wrong there. I'm disappointed. And it sucks because he's obviously very talented, and it's just because of the way things are broke that Cohen's been the guy and not Howard.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good pick. Somebody who's been healthy, who's just, for whatever reason, it's just fallen off. I guess along those same lines, maybe LeSean McCoy.
Yep, I was thinking him too. That's a good pick.
We even though there were a lot of people that were kind of predicting this before the season, that this might be the year that LeSean McCoy falls off. If it actually happened, he did not live up to the lofty standards he set in previous seasons, and you know, you can't really count on him too much going forward here. So this was the beginning of the end of LeSean McCoy, and I would say him, and you know, I guess to a certain degree, maybe Alex Collins
mm-hmm.
Would also fit the bill. I kind of called that one early in the year where I didn't think he'd hang on to that job, especially if he fumbled, which is what happened. So I would say those guys for sure.
Yeah. I would say also to a lesser degree, Gronkowski. I know he's been hurt, a little banged up a little bit. But
yeah, that's true.
I think I just expected more. But obviously, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Brady's just got a limp arm. You know, I think Brady's done. I don't see a world where Brady comes back. Why would they want him back? He doesn't have the snap that he had last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Gronkowski suffered, and it sucks because, you know, Gronkowski restructured his contract with a whole lot of incentives around catches, yards, number of games played, all of that. And he needs to basically, in these next like 4 or 5 games, he has to have like just basically monster games every game for him to hit any of his incentives. But, you know, my understanding from him is that he's basically never spent his NFL salary. He's only always lived off of his endorsement money. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he's done it the right way because he's got $150 million or whatever it is probably saved up in bank. So he's probably good. But, you know, it just it sucks because for basically being one of the best, greatest tight ends of all time, you know, I think if Brady's done, Gronk might also be done.
Yeah, yeah, that's a smart pick too. Because even when he's been healthy, he hasn't been himself. That was the thing in the past with him was like, if he was hurt, if once he came back and if he was playing, like you needed to have him in the lineup and you could expect him to be Gronk. But now even when he's back healthy and playing, it hasn't been there for him this year.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Gronk this year is the equivalent because he's always in like that first, second, even rarely third round territory in a snake draft. Mm-hmm. To me, he's almost this. He's very similar this year to Michael Vick in, was it 2011, 2010, yeah. When like, you know, he had that great year and then the next year he was going in the first round and then just completely sunk. And that was the famous Matthew Berry, I'm taking Michael Vick first overall.
Right, right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So those are the two superlatives I had thought of. Do you have any that kind of pop into mind for you that you think might be fun to talk about?
Not really. I guess all right, I'll get one for you. Maybe a young guy or something like that, most likely to break out next season.
Whew, okay. Wow. Okay. There's a lot of options to think about. So, is it somebody that is
somebody, I mean, who's currently playing now, not a rookie in college or anything like that,
right? But they haven't necessarily broken out this year.
Yes, they haven't broken out this year. Maybe they've been doing okay, but maybe you look at them and say, I think this person has a chance to be really good next year.
You know, I'm probably gonna lean towards running backs, right? Because I feel like those are the easiest guys to go towards. I think I have to go with Nick Chubb. We've seen the explosiveness from him. He hasn't been given full workhorse numbers. But I would say him, and I would even say Joe Mixon, both have just been, they've been very strong, very good. It's just they're not getting the true amount of work that they need in order to really break out. But if they are, I think those are two guys next year that could be, you know, top seven, top eight running backs. It could be running back ones. I would say those two are the ones that kind of come to me that are, I think they have the potential.
Okay. I look at maybe somebody like Kerryon Johnson, who's shown flashes this year.
He's hurt now,
but he had a couple good games. I think he's the best running back Detroit has had in a long time. And it's all gonna come down to usage too. I mean, you know, right now they've got Riddick, they have Blunt, but you know, will Blunt be back next year? Riddick, you know, probably will still fulfill that pass catching role, but maybe Kerryon Johnson is the guy everywhere else on the field, and you know, maybe he starts getting the goal line work. And you know, there's some rumblings that they might move on from their offensive coordinator. Does a new coordinator come in and, you know, use him as a workhorse? I don't know. I think there's potential there with him, though.
I 100% agree, and I'm mad I didn't think about him. He was a guy that coming into the year, I was targeting in my dynasty leagues because obviously, you know, Saquon was the guy going first, and you had like Nick Chubb at the top, Sonny Michel. Those were all guys that were going like top four picks for dynasty. Kerryon Johnson was a guy you could get in the later first round, so he was someone that I was targeting and going after and was able to snag in one of my leagues. Mm-hmm. So I fully agree with that. I think it's funny because it's much easier to try to predict a breakout for a running back than it is for a wide receiver, because like you need to see something. I think it's really rare for wide receivers to just come out of nowhere. It's been done, right?
Right.
Like OBJ and things like that. But you know, I feel like wide receivers are just a little bit harder to predict. You know, I would want to say like someone like Calvin Ridley, but we saw flashes this year, and he's been
like a DJ Moore, who, you know,
yep, exactly. It's just the current class, mm-hmm. more or less the freshman class.
Yeah.
Okay, that was good. So I mean, you know, let's do this. Is obviously projecting forward. You know, we've now basically have all the main quarterbacks that were drafted this year, fresh, you know, our rookie quarterbacks have seen playing time. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson's going to be having a second start this week. Obviously, Baker's taking over. He's now the guy. Josh Allen is the guy, unless he's hurt. You know, Josh Rosen is there in there. So out of those guys, obviously, I would say Baker is probably the best
Baker
year so
Baker
far.
For me is heads and toes above head and shoulders above everybody else in that class. I mean, I have not been impressed at all with Sam or Josh or whoever the hell those guys are. And I do that on purpose because they just seem like bland, white-ass quarterbacks who do absolutely nothing for me when I've watched them in a game. So give me Baker all day, every day on this rookie class of quarterbacks. I think he could be legit next year.
Well, let me ask you this, and obviously you know they're going to need a new head coach next year. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what's going to happen there. But do you think that we are going to see a resurgence of the Browns going forward? That the Browns can become
absolutely.
You know, Big Ben's going to retire. Joe Flacco is going to be handing off the reins.
I think see a resurgence of the Browns in terms of that offense being at least from a fantasy perspective, being one that's very viable. That'll have a quarterback you could start. That'll have a potential number one running back. That will have, you know, I don't know. We'll see how the receiver situation shakes out. You know, does Antonio Callaway, does he rise along with Baker? You know, I don't know. You know, we'll see. It's the future is bright in that sense for the Browns.
Yeah, and also, if memory serves, they still have like three or four more first round picks in the next 2 years.
Yeah, I'm not
so
sure.
They got even more. They got even more talent that they've amassed. That they can bring in, so it'll be interesting to watch.
Well, here's a question. Let's do a league focused question here. Maybe we could talk more generally about the league. If you could enact one change to our league, what would it be? And whether it be like format or scoring or you know roster configuration, lineup configuration. What would be one change you would enact?
That's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple of things that come to mind, right? So it's hard to kind of pick.
Yeah. What are the things that come to mind?
Yeah, the few things that I think interest me the most, and part of the reason is because I've not done these before, but I've read about them and they seem really interesting. I think the number one thing is moving to a super flex. Where,
you stole my answer.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You know, I think our league is so advanced. And I don't mean this to look down upon other leagues, but obviously everyone in the league likes what we do. We all put some of us put more work than others, but everyone puts some amount of work in. You know, we talk about it all the time, right? How like the people that are on like, you know, the waiver wire grabs are just never available, right? We're always looking deeper. I feel like if you add Superflex for those who don't know, Superflex is basically turning your flex spot into the ability to not only be a flex for running back, wide receiver, tight end, but it also allows you to do a second QB. And it's basically a second QB because you're almost nuts not to put a QB in there except for like just really bipocalypse type weeks. But I think adding a Superflex would add a level of complexity because basically you'd force people to have to roster two, if not three quarterbacks. You'd get rid of the concept of quarterback streaming altogether because you couldn't go with that. You basically would have to pick, you know, two or three quarterbacks that are going to last you the whole year. And the funny part is obviously, you know, we have 12 teams. So do the math. If you're going to be starting probably two every week, right? Your main one and your super flex. Then you're looking at there's 24 quarterbacks. So you basically have only eight other NFL team quarterbacks that are even available. And obviously with injuries and things like that, you probably bump the number up to maybe 12 or 15. But the truth is that it just means that quarterbacks become more scarce. So what that would result in is that our auction league values would change, right? Quarterbacks would all of a sudden go for, you know, what was the most expensive quarterback this year? It was like 15, 20 bucks.
Yeah.
You'd probably be pushing that into $30. And so I think that would create more parity among the other positions. It would probably tamp down the running back and wide receiver costs a little bit. I think it would really tamp down the tight end costs because that's typically where you could spend the extra.
Right.
So that would be the one thing that intrigues me. I think the other thing that would be really intriguing, and I may have talked about this, and I'm talking long here. I'm sorry. Did you have another idea?
Go ahead.
I get to my, okay. I may have brought this up in a previous episode and touched on it briefly, but this idea of an empire league where basically you have you every year you put in, you know, the money to the pot and that person wins. But then separately, you put in a secondary amount. It doesn't have to be as much as the first time, but that number is a cumulative pot year over year. And so what it does is it keeps adding up. And only when somebody wins the league 2 years in a row, do they take home that pot.
It could be interesting.
So that could be interesting just because all of a sudden, you know, somebody wins and the next year, everybody's sort of gunning for that one person to make sure they don't win. So that could add like a little bit of flexibility or a little bit of intrigue, I think. Those were the two things that kind of popped out to me. There are some other gimmicky stuff you can do. The only other thing I could really think of that I think would maybe be interesting, and I floated out there, but I think it was pretty much shot down, was the idea of having an equivalent to the scoring format, giving running backs and tight ends a little bit more of a premium. So, for example, tight end catches are worth like 1.5 points or 1 point. You know, to make them a little bit more valuable, and then giving running backs like a 0.1 per carry. So similar to basically a half point per reception type of thing, just to kind of give them some similar value to what you're seeing in wide receivers. Because obviously, as we move forward, wide receivers are going to be more, I think they're obviously with more pass happy league. I think wide receivers are going to come at some point. I think you're going to see wide receivers, the majority of wide receivers overtake running backs in terms of value, with the exception of those like top six, top eight running backs. Wide receivers are always going to be more expensive. So those would be the things that come
That's to true. I despise the idea of giving a running back any kind of points for just taking a handoff. I really do.
Okay.
I would vehemently oppose any measure that includes that. I am very intrigued by a super flex. And if honestly, like, if tomorrow the league wanted to enact a super flex, I would vote yes. I think we're getting to a point where the league is great and everything, but I think we'd be okay shaking it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, let me ask, would you be in favor of a super flex, basically adding a secondary flex that is a super flex, so you still have our current flex, or are you saying turn our current flex into super flex?
Turn the current flex into a super flex. I think if you add another flex position, I think it, I don't know. I feel like that maybe waters it down a little bit in terms of
that's
having
fair.
To make decisions and roster construction and things like that. I think that a super flex would really shake up the draft, and I think it would really make things interesting draft wise, and people are really going to have to pick and choose where they're going to spend their money.
And you know, another idea, what you just said, another idea just came to me when you said like add more intrigue to the league. There's a league format out there called Scotty Fishbowl. I don't know if you've heard of it, where basically every year there's a different format, right? There's a different scoring, there's a different roster. Every year it's a different league. So what we could do is we could say, hey, everyone can throw one idea into the hat, and it can be roster. We can limit it, right? You say it has to be roster based, mm-hmm. or
lineup based, points based. Yeah.
We throw them all into the hat and we pick one out, and then that's like our unique variant for that year. But again, the only caveat to all of this that we're talking about is that it completely changes our ability to look at stats through, because all of a sudden, all of our stats now through a lens,
mm-hmm.
you know, that the high analytics that Mancuso does, mm-hmm. You know, those are all of a sudden are now put in jeopardy. They can't be compared.
Right, right.
So that's the only thing that we have to keep in mind. If we're doing that, we're basically saying, hey, all those previous things, they're not no longer valid, but you know, we can't use them in the same way we do now.
That's true. I'm not so concerned about that. I'd be okay with, you know, kind of just putting the stats aside. If it maybe, you know, shakes things up and creates a little more intrigue in the league. I don't know. I could see, you know, a super flex would shake up the league a lot, or shake up the draft a lot. But I also feel like a consequence of making quarterbacks more expensive is that towards the end of a draft, there's going to be a lot of like $1 and $0 or $1, $2 players going. And I feel like it almost would create more of a snake draft towards the end of the draft than already exists now. I don't know. I'm just thinking through the consequences of that potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in a similar format, mm-hmm. you could, you know, you could also throw in, I know people are against it, but you could throw in the idea of a keeper or two mm-hmm. where you're allowed to keep one or two people off your roster from the previous year at a set cost. So 1.5 times what you paid in the draft last year. So that way you could at least reward people who like hit on somebody that they did research on and was able to hit on. Mm-hmm. them. I don't know. I could see the reason why people don't like that format. I get that. But at the same time, you know, if we're talking about things that we could change, maybe we're at that point where it's worthwhile to change.
True.
I mean, we're next year is going to be our 10th year.
Right? Yeah.
So maybe we say, hey, listen, it's 10 years. Let's do something. Maybe we make it a Hunger Games style.
10 years.
So often.
10 years of the auction league. Yeah. Or yes, this will be the 10th year.
Fair enough. Yeah. 10 years of the auction league. But maybe every 10th mm-hmm. year, every 5 years or whatever going forward, we do something fun for a year to kind of shake things up a little bit.
Potentially. I'd be open to it.
Yeah, me as well. And obviously, I think we even have to, given that we know that next year is the 10th year of the auction league, I think we have to put even more effort into trying to do a live draft, right? That would be the culmination.
Well, that's my ideal. That would be great. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, I think it was a great discussion tonight. I definitely enjoy talking not league-specific stuff with mm-hmm. you. I think, you know, it can be a little difficult for us when we're just going over matchups each week. So this is a good discussion. Mm-hmm. You know, guys, listen, we're approaching playoffs. Obviously, we're going to keep doing this through playoffs. I believe Chief and I plan on doing this, you know, in the off season. We probably won't do it every week, but maybe we'll do it
every other week, once a month,
something like that. We'll do it. We'll check in. We'll go through some news and notes, but we'd love to get people on the podcast. We've been doing this now long enough. This is episode 16. We'd love to get somebody on the podcast as a guest. Obviously, Mancuso mm-hmm. did it a couple of weeks ago when Chief couldn't make mm-hmm. it. So please, if you're interested, let us know. Still, voicemail questions are available, but you know, we'd love to make this more interactive with you guys if you want to.
Yep, that sounds good.
All right. Anything else tonight, Chief?
I'm good. I'm just going to make my dinner now and drift off into the night.
Fair enough. All right, guys. Well, hey, thanks once again. Remember, please support us by giving 5-star reviews on you know, Apple Podcasts, wherever else you listen to us. Please don't forget to subscribe. It helps with our listening numbers. And that's it. Thanks this time. And we'll see you next time on Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour.